As always, it's so good to be here with you in the Lord's house, gathered together. And I'm so thankful for all the guests and visitors we have with us today and everybody who is joining us online and on the radio. We pray that you can join us again in the future. But as we come before the Lord this morning, we do so as children do their father. We come before God at this time in boldness and confidence. We come trusting in his goodness for all that he has done for us. In light of this, may we join together and sing our first song, number 411. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps a way. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord of all power and might, author and giver of all good things, graft into our hearts the love of your name and nourish us with all goodness, that we may love and serve our neighbor. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading for this third Sunday after Pentecost comes from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. Behold, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael, the king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him, and took the yoke of oxen, and sacrificed them, and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah, and assisted him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 5. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you please stand? The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him, who went and entered a village of the Samaritans, to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him, because his face was set towards Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time I invite the children forward for a children's message. Actually, I need to make sure I look good before I do anything, okay? Well, if you would just bear with me, make sure this is all neat and tidy. Is everything straight?
Yeah.
Does this look okay? Good. All right. I think I'm ready. Actually, no, I'm not ready. I need to tell Maria something. I need to ask her something. Do you know what for dinner is? No? Oh, okay. We'll work on that, okay? Okay. Okay, I think I'm ready now, but let me make sure everybody can hear me. Is the microphone working? You can hear me in the back?
Yeah.
Awesome. Good. Fabulous. Okay. I think I am ready now. Oh, wait. Just one more thing, okay? Bear with me. I just need to... Let me just make sure I didn't get any important messages. I was expecting one here. No? Okay. No? Okay, let's... I think I'm ready now, okay? Oh, shoot. We don't really have any more time for our children's message. Nah, I'm just kidding. I was just being silly. What I wanted to do for all of you is to show you, kind of help you understand what was happening in our gospel reading today. If you're able to pay attention, God wants people to follow him, right? But we saw just example after example, all these people, God wanted them to follow him, but they had so many excuses. They didn't have time to follow Jesus. They all wanted to do their own things. They said, well, I need to spend time with my family. I need to put other things first. I need to have fun. I can't follow Jesus and do all of these things that I want to do. But Jesus knows that nothing that we do is more important than following him. You know, all of these things, they took me away from being with all of you. Right? And that's no fun. That's not good. And Jesus does the same thing. You know, Jesus, there was nothing that he saw more important than going to the cross and dying for you. He made no excuses about it, but he came to this world and he lived a perfect life and he died for you, that we can have life and that we can live with him forever. Well, would you please join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your loving kindness. We thank you for making no excuses in our salvation, but you have come life, to this world that we may have life. And we ask that you would just be in our hearts and that you would strengthen us to walk always with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much, everybody. You can return to your seats, and as you go, you can grab a piece of candy. In the congregation, we are going to sing our next hymn. In our gospel reading this morning, Luke has compiled three separate events into one small story. For here we have three men who on three different occasions all come to Jesus. And their desires are, in fact, all the same. For each one, we are told, want to follow the Lord. And yet, as Luke tells the story, one after the other, all three of them have their commitment cut short. All three of them, they seemed eager to say it, I will follow Christ. Yet all three of them have their devotions fail prematurely. They seemed so full of strength, and yet they fall away just as quickly as they began. For they each fell, dear friends, because of just one single word. I will follow Christ, they say, but. We see it happen with the first man who we find in verse 57. He says, I will follow you wherever you go, but apparently not as Jesus will go on to show him. Apparently not if following him would mean that we will be met with difficulty or uncertainty along the way. Then we have the second man in verse 59. He too first appears to follow Christ. Then he too is forced to cut his commitment short. For he says, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Or in a plainer text, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first do this. Then the last man comes as if echoing the first. I will follow you, Lord, but first. First, let me say farewell to my home. Three men come to Jesus, all three with this sincere intention to follow him. But one after the other, they go their own way. Well, dear friends, these three men before us this morning, I think, capture a wide range of human sentiment today. And I believe that Luke would have us see these three men as just three examples, that they are for us but a picture of how the multitudes respond to God's call today. So many people, they have such good intentions of following the Lord. But again, as these three are put here as examples, they show us a range of attitudes, a range of spiritual stumbling blocks. From my own experience of talking with people, very few seem to have any outright objections to following the Lord. But something always seems to kill their commitment. Something causes them to stumble. We see it happen all the time in the Gospels. So often the multitudes come to Christ, but then as if one by one, we then see the multitudes falling away. Well, dear friends, as we go over these three people with their three hesitations, those three buts, if you will, I want us to look at what Christ is calling us to this morning. For by showing us how these three all fell away, Luke is also at the same time showing us exactly what Christ has called you and I to as well. For what hindered these three men from following the Lord, I pray that by divine grace, the Lord would lead us to shake off everything that would stand in our way. And that God would give us the strength to indeed follow him everywhere. As Christians, it's been said that we have been enlisted into the Lord's army. In fact, Scripture is full of such talk. For example, it says that we fight not against flesh and blood, but rather against rulers, authorities, and the powers of darkness. Or again, elsewhere, does Paul talk about putting on the full armor of God and taking up arms with his word? Also, if you were to look at our hymnal, you would notice that we have an entire section in there under the heading, The Church Militant. And then even Jesus himself spoke of being in a battle of which the gates of hell cannot prevail against. To follow Christ, dear friends, means that you are enlisted in the Lord's army. And so here in our gospel reading, we get those three examples of people who essentially failed boot camp, if you will. For what they said seems to have disqualified them from the Lord's service. They said that they would follow him, but then it's not the soldier's place to make stipulations. It's not the soldier's place to say, I will follow you, but. The first guy we see calls out to Jesus, and in fact, he is volunteering. He says, I will follow you wherever you go. However, the only problem, dear friends, is that this guy had no idea what that even meant. He doesn't know that disciples are soldiers, that the road ahead is fraught with trials. As far as he knew, he was sincere. But then again, he didn't know much. And in fact, had he known more, he would have said less. This was a man who thought that Jesus has come to usher in a new kingdom. That is an eternal kingdom with its throne in Jerusalem. This guy was committed to following Christ, and he was all in it. At least, he was all in when he expected that to involve victory and triumph and reward. He expected Jesus to be walking into Jerusalem and to be crowned king within just the next few days. He himself, as a follower then, his life would certainly have been better off. Instead of thinking of himself as a soldier called to battle, called to tear down strongholds, struggling with sin and self, he pictured that following Christ would be a walk in the park. He saw following Christ to be a worldly advantage, and that following Christ, he would be successful in the world. And that, dear friends, is how so many people respond to God's call today. For they follow Jesus as long as the road is full of joy and pleasure, or as long as the way is free from persecution and afflictions, as long as we don't get rejected by our peers, or as long as we aren't made to feel foolish, as long as there's no hardships to endure. The multitudes will indeed follow Christ when the road to heaven is smooth and paved. How many people would today say along with this man, I will follow you wherever you go? And yet they have no idea what that really means. And they don't really mean wherever. For many today will have no problem being a Christian, following Christ when that means following him to Jerusalem, following him on Palm Sunday where people honor him, when palm branches are cast before them, and when people throw down their garments before him in respect. But dear friends, as Jesus will show, following Christ rather means following him to Gethsemane. The road to heaven, while it's hedged in by God's grace, is yet full of trials. Many want to wear the crown, but without fighting the good fight. Or they want the glory without the perseverance or the testing. Following the Lord wherever he goes means following the Lord to Gethsemane, where he's covered in a bloody sweat, It means following him to where people called out for his crucifixion. And it means following him to Golgotha, where he would be put to death. Surely he spoke truthfully, upfront and honest when he said, "Pick up your cross and follow me." There are many people today who say that they will follow Christ wherever he leads. But when it comes down to it, they don't truly mean wherever. And so in a simple yet beautiful response, Jesus reveals to this man his misunderstanding. He simply responds saying, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man, he has no place to lay his head. The Lord's not casting him away, but rather he is just upfront and honest with the man. The Lord isn't one to bait and switch his disciples. Rather, it's as if he's just saying on the outset, count the costs. The disciple is not above his Lord, and neither is the servant above his master. You may follow a Christ, but know that Jesus has no home of his own. Well, surely he had those friends in Bethany who loved him. Yet all along the way, there were so many nights where the Lord seemed to tarry through till the morning. When all the foxes went to their dens and all the birds returned to their trees, the Savior himself found himself time and again without shelter, and his head often grew damp with the morning dew. Dear friends, know that the Lord calls us today truly wherever he wills. We have a wise and gracious master. And though indeed the road before us is fraught with danger, we are still to trust and follow him, knowing that he who gave his own son will surely guard and protect us all along the way. And then notice lastly concerning still this first man, how there is no prayer in his response. He didn't say, "Lord, help me to follow you." He doesn't say, "Uphold me and keep me fast." He doesn't say, "Let me not wander as I am so prone to do." These would have indeed made his response all the better. For as we know, our strength and commitment come not from sheer willpower, but from the Lord himself. Our strength relies upon God, whose strength is made known in weakness. He who is faithful and just. He who will not quench a smoldering wick, nor turn back any who call upon him in mercy. Well, dear friends, I wish I had time to go through all three of these men in just as much detail as we have the first. But I want to touch now just briefly upon these next and final two people. The second man said, "Lord, let me first bury my father." It seems like a very natural request on its surface. And I think for that very reason, many commentators have speculated that perhaps the man's father at this point wasn't even dead. Some scholars believe that perhaps he wanted just to be there for when his father died, though that might still be a year or more later. Whether that's true or not, what we do gather from this man is that he too had stipulations. "I will follow you, Lord, but I can't put you first. I want to follow you, but I have other responsibilities. I have obligations to both work and family. I will follow you, Lord, but I'm going to follow you second." Many people share in that same sentiment today as well. "I'll follow you," they say, "but know that my work will always come first. I can't guarantee that I will follow you devotedly, For indeed, if my boss asks me to do something against conscience, know that I will, of course, have to follow him instead. Otherwise, how many people will say that they are perhaps a doctor before they will say that they are a Christian? How many farmers before disciples of God? How many say that they are day laborers before they are servants of the Most High? People will say that they are followers of Christ, but so often that is further down on their list, after family man, employee, or hobbyist. This man, then, we see, was also unfit to be a disciple of Christ. For the Lord does not come into the soul to be lodged up in the attic, but rather he comes into the very heart of a man, and he puts within us his love. And then the third and last man, dear friends, says, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those in my home. I will follow you, Lord, but let me have just one more night with my friends and family. You know, saying farewell is not necessarily a bad thing, but from Jesus' response, it would appear that this man was still tied to that which he was leaving behind. Like those today, dear friends, they have good intentions, but they cannot seem to follow through. I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say bye as I hang out with my buddies one final time. I will follow you, but let me go back and drink one more beer with my friends. I'll be quick, and I promise, then I will return. The only problem, dear friends, is how that once more seems to have a killing effect upon one's devotional life. Instead of running with endurance, like the Apostle Paul says, removing all stumbling blocks from us, we return right back to them like a dog to its vomit. Or instead of cutting off our sin, cutting it off, as Jesus says, cut off your right hand. Take these drastic measures to rid yourselves of your sinful nature. Instead of doing that, so often we just flirt with temptation. And we hang out with all of that which inevitably is going to cause us to stumble again. Jesus seems to know that this man returning back to his household in order to say a farewell would just throw a cold bucket upon his fiery zeal of following Christ. Rather, what we're told today is that if the Lord calls us, Paul says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not harden your heart. For the beautiful call, dear friends, is not just a call for you to follow the Lord, but it is a call for you to be one with the Lord. Dear friends, that is the key to discipleship and to committing oneself to Christ. It is not just by trying harder, because ultimately, if reliant upon our own strength, that will inevitably fail us. The world, the devil, and our own sinful nature will always overpower our spirits if we rely on sheer willpower. As Jesus said to Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. Peter on his own has no chance to stand strong in his flesh. He would rather be tossed about like a plastic bag in a hurricane. But dear friends, thanks be to God that he who calls us is faithful and strong. He who calls you gives you the power to overcome. Keep your eyes on Christ before you, for he gives you his own Spirit, and he makes you a child of God. The God who calls you gives you prayer as a weapon. Don't rely upon your own determination, but rely upon the determination of Him who said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Look not inwards to be the best soldier or follower of Christ, but look to your leader, keeping your eyes before Him, before you, upon Christ, and pressing on towards the upward call, keeping your eyes on Him who gives His word to strengthen you. He gives you His flesh to eat and His blood to drink to carry you along in strength. The very same one, dear friend, says further to pick up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up that shield of faith, trusting yourselves upon the Lord. Trust in Him who is rich in mercy. For He is mighty to save, able to save to the uttermost all who call to Him. He gives you His strength, for you are His beloved. You are His, born into His family through the waters of baptism, born of grace. You are His, bought and redeemed by the blood of Christ, who shed His blood for you. And you are His today, dear friends. Lastly, do you not know that your temples your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, temples of the Most High God? You are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. For Christ has been crucified on your behalf. And so, dearly beloved, trust yourselves upon the mighty and compassionate Lord, for He will indeed strengthen you and keep you until the last day. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing our next hymn. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. Let us pray. Holy Father, we give you thanks and praise, knowing that you are merciful and kind. You are full of compassion and grace. And we ask that you will continue to keep us firm in the faith, continue to look over us as our Lord and our God. That we, of course, desire the easy path, and we ask that you would give us the strength needed to walk the road which you have laid before us. Where our strength ends, we ask that you would continue to guide, strengthen, and keep us on the straight and narrow path that you have called us upon. Likewise, use us as your people and lead us to be faithful to our calling, faithful to your holy name, so that we would fight the good fight all the days of our lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And merciful God, we lift your name on high, knowing that you have made a way to bring us to yourself. You have provided the way in which you can be both merciful and just towards us. Lead us to cling always to Jesus, our substitute. Lead us to hold fast to his sacrificial death on our behalf. And lead us to put our faith and trust upon him who gave his life to be our ransom. In keeping our eyes on you, Lord, strengthen us to be firm in our devotion to you and to your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of heaven and earth, you bring forth all things in their time. We ask that you continue to show mercy upon your creation, continue to provide for all of our needs of body and soul. And we pray especially at this time that you would bring seasonable weather to us. We pray that you would continue to bring the rain that's needed. We pray for healthy crops and for all your loving hand to be working in our midst. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, great physician, we pray for all who are on our prayer list, all who are struggling in mind, body, and spirit. Now we pray especially for the loved ones of Lawanda Pinkapank, as her funeral was yesterday. We ask that you would continue to be with her friends and family. Bring them to find comfort in one another, and especially to find comfort in your word. And we further pray for those who have not yet come to the knowledge of truth. We ask you, Father, to work mightily through your word. Continue to reveal yourself to those in our communities and open up opportunities for us to share the gospel to those who so desperately need to hear it. Also, for all those who are on our hearts and minds, we lift them before you. Again, including this morning, Lois Giesecke, who had a high heart rate this morning. She was brought to the hospital. We just pray for good test results and that she can continue serving you strong all of her days. And we also lift before you all of our congregation members who are stuck at home with COVID. We ask that you would continue to be in their midst, continue to give them your word and strength. Gracious Father, we ask that you would work in all of our situations, so that we may all live long lives devoted to you and for your glory. Fulfill your promise to work all things together for our good, and use all our situations for the glory of your holy name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you receive the blessing of our Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his mercy and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn.